Blog Talk Radio.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefit. Negative thoughts, pessimist calls. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Remember, principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserve a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of I have my eyes on the prize. I won't accept it and lie. Fight for my faith till I die. There is a reason why.
Your face and not your nail, God hand.
till my days are done. Sit and reason with the Lord, why he didn't take the sinful part of my flesh. He told me that the reason why it's there is to let me know that I am in worthless. He wants me to stay on my knees like a potter. He wants to mold me and make me. I'll always be the clay. So mold me and make me and do what you say. Jesus, you're perfect. That is what I need. I was set apart for pleasure to stay right at your feet. Oh, oh Lord, please fight my battles for me. Oh Lord, fight for me. Please fight for me. Oh, I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your name.
Here on blog.com. I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and I pray that everyone out there can hear me. Tonight we're going to have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to be teaching on the power of joy, and this teaching is going to deal with faith, and it's going to be a continuation of teaching that he's been working on. Tonight's sponsors for are Reverend D.W. Walton, Reverend Wallace, and Reverend Doinkett. And the churches that are participating in this conf are out of West Virginia, South Carolina, Butte, Montana, and Portland, Oregon. But before we get started with tonight's teaching, we're going to give the mic over to Pastor Emmett Overton.
Pastor Steve will explain what's going on. These churches are not familiar with tongues and interpretations. And after that, we're going to let Pastor Steve Lee do that and carry on with his sermon for this evening.
Thank you, my God. For the Lord would say, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. My word has been given to you, and my word will illuminate your path so that you can come home. I am calling you home, my children. I am asking you to come and fellowship with me in ways that you have not understood before. Open your heart, and I will fill it. Open your mind, and I will explain. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. For I am the God that is more than enough. I am the God that will give you all things that are necessary for you to execute my word in your life day by day. For my love is great, my children. My love for you is great. And the only thing that can hinder my love in your life is you. So call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know, saith the Spirit of the living God. Praise God. Praise God. Beloved, I'm thankful to be able to come to you today and share with you truths from the Word of God. And so I'll just go ahead and pray and get into the Word. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Father, quiet our hearts and minds and allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak and birth victory in our spirit, in our hearts, and in our minds. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters that are reaching out to you to be fed. And I thank you that the humility in my heart will be displayed so that they can glean truths that would transform. The power of joy is what I want to couch everything in, because God does things in a specific way. And when I say that, I am not saying God only does things one way, but he has guidelines that help us know that it's him. He's not the author of confusion. So then that says that we have to have an unction of what he's doing. And that unction comes by his spirit. It does not come from my experience. Beloved, I need for you to walk with me here. If we're going to try to reach the heavens from our experience, we might come up limited. Because the distance between here and the third heaven is too massive. So it would be wise for us to take it from where we are because we start from that position. I found this to be so true, that when you don't know what God is saying to you, please go back and find out what he's already said to you that you haven't done. The thing that he's asking you to do must be done. We must come to the place where we submit to him. I'll say it this way. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. If I don't submit to him, his way, his will, because he's Lord, then he cannot be Lord in my life. I'm still sitting on the throne and then making demands of how things should be done my way. The power of joy, and you can look at this. We're going to come at it from a different way, if you would. You could turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I would like to use this scripture as my foundation, if you would. The power of joy is what I'm going to try to couch it in. But this is what I want to use as a foundation scripture. And it's going to be Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. We'll start with 22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they which are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. He said that the fruit or the increase of the Spirit is love. Now, I want you to kind of look at this as we break it up. Notice the fruit of the Spirit is love. We could stop the sentence right there because God is love. So the increase of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit's increase in our life is love. Love's entrance into our life is joy. If love does not enter into your heart by the gateway of joy, you probably won't let love in. Have you ever had situations that someone did something to you and they came and they repented for what they did? And if you don't allow joy to come into your heart, that they're not just saying it so they can prove that they were wrong, you were right, you were wrong, they were right. They are doing it for sincerity so we can have relationship again. If joy doesn't lead you to that place, we will not have any peace, will we? I just want you to see that how it is connected, how it is woven together. It is one Spirit, okay? It is not nine different manifestations. It is one Spirit that allows you to grow into the oneness of love. We'll start with you receiving love by joy, okay? I mean, you can see that if I don't have joy, I can't enter into repentance. Then nothing else works. All right. Peace is love's security. Okay? Because if, again, I think that you are doing this repentance because you have to, because I'm the only food chain that you have developed, then I think you're using me and my peace is disturbed. Love does not rest in my life. Okay, I just want you to see how it is connected. If you would, the first place of resting for love to work in your life is joy. Okay? So saying that, let's kind of review what we said last week. And you can write these scriptures down, which is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, and Isaiah chapter 12. Yeah, the whole chapter, really, but we'll start with 2. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, he told them, this was again, they were coming back to the promises of God, to the covenant of God, which they had been separated from because they were cast out of Israel, okay? So they were coming back, and they were reestablishing a connection with God. And they found in the place where they were supposed to be participating in the ingathering or the Feast of Booths, okay? Sukkot. And that means that's an appointed time. Again, I just stated that God does things on purpose, by purpose. He does things in a manner where they can be tracked. If you want to find God, understand God, then you need to be able to find where he said appointed times, seasons would be, so that you can enter into what he's doing. God is interested, beloved, in causing your, according to the scripture here, he's wanting you to enjoy the fat, the sweet, and to be a blessing for those that don't know how to get to God. You know, it's just like, if you would, we would be the breadcrumbs that are left, the Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs that would lead them back to the house. We would be the breadcrumbs for people to come to Christ. If we have joy in our lives, we will then release peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Okay, you see how it works. If I don't have joy in my life, I cannot go and release the things that love brought to me. The fruit or increase of the Spirit is love. It is manifest and understood through the avenue of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. Okay? If I don't understand that, then I will go and try to manufacture love without joy. Okay? That, beloved, that would be obligation. Trust me, obligation is never love. Obligation would be characterized as a work of the flesh. Okay? And nobody can enjoy God's presence in the flesh. This is one of the things he just said here in Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Notice he didn't say, and you can see the things up just above that when he was talking about the difference between the works of the flesh, which are manifest, okay? Then he delineated those. And he tries to get you to understand that if you participate in that, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. If you want to operate in idolatry, witchcraft, if you want to operate in manipulation and control, if you want to operate, come on, y'all, please. I'm just trying to see it. There it is. It's very clear in black and white. If you want to operate in wrath and strife, if you want to operate in seditions, then you cannot have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Please, it's just written line upon line. There it is. Okay? I understand specifically what he was talking about, because the children of Israel were trying to come into a new understanding of God, and they wanted to bring in the old paradigms. They wanted to bring in works of the flesh. And Paul wrote to them and say, if you're led of the Spirit, then you're not going to be under these paradigms that cause you to have obligations. You cannot serve God in obligation. There first has to be joy. You will miss out on love if joy is not present. If you miss out on joy, you will have no peace. You will not be able to have long suffering because peace is gone. Joy was not present. You will not be able to participate in gentleness. Goodness is gone. I mean, just please look at how he delineated. He said, this day is a day that is holy before the Lord. This is an appointed day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You cannot go through life without the joy of the Lord. Please understand, it did not say the joy from the Lord. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, beloved, the same joy that God uses. This is a scripture I'm going to go to later, but wait a minute. Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, wait a minute. Let's track that. He said, Jesus, most holy God, had to have joy as a motivating force, or he would not have ended up in the place of being seated at the right hand. Please track it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He would have not endured the cross if joy had not been set in front of him, according to the scripture. Okay? Just understand that. That joy had to be the motivating force, the point of contact. All right? And then because it was, he was able to endure. He could have long suffering. He could display gentleness and goodness. He could release faith. Please connect the two. Okay? But if I don't allow the joy, which is my strength, that God said, I got to start here. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? And then as they heard this, they began to cry. They began to just weep because they say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to prepare stuff for people that we don't even have enough ourselves? How are we going to prepare other stuff for the people that don't have nothing? Okay? So God is telling you that the way these things are done in the Spirit is you have to go to the Spirit and understand that the fruit of the Spirit, which is required for us to finish the work that Jesus started, we must have love that causes joy to be understood and released. All right? I want you to track that, please. You can write this down. Take the method, if you would, of how God wants you to walk in it. Okay? Because if you live in the Spirit, you have to walk in the Spirit. Do not be desirous of vainglory, doing it because I had to do it and you have to take it. Come on, y'all. Vainglory, just according to what he said in 5, Galatians chapter 5, 26, vainglory causes a provoking. Vain glory causes an envying of one another. Not a completion of one another, every joint supplying, the body making increase of itself in love. Come on. The body makes increase of itself because love was exchanged. Joy gave me the ability to release the love that I just experienced. God forgave me, and now I can forgive you. I, by joy, understood forgiveness. Okay, did you see the connection? Faith has to, notice the way it says here, that love first encounters joy on the inside of you before long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith is employed. So we're talking about faith, but I'm trying to get you to see and understand that as one Spirit, it has to be released the right way. Joy would be the first position that love is going to be manifest as. You have to receive it. The Bible teaches us that the worker must be first a partaker of the fruit. And if I partake of love, the thing that should come out of that would be joy, wouldn't it? So that if you want faith to work, beloved, because the Bible says, come on, let's just put it together. It says that faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. So in order for faith to work,
love must be present. In order for love to be present, joy has to be the thing that enters into my heart so that I can now then have security and then be able to put up with. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And because of that, he is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If he had not put joy there in its place, then you and I, our salvation, would have been in trouble. Because joy caused him to receive the strength, according to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is what caused the strength for him to endure. Okay? Again, joy comes from the Lord. It is out of his provision. It is part of his promise. Once the transfer of joy has been made to the believer, it should then be used as a tool to draw the power of God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. And he says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Glory to God. "Therefore," because of this, whenever you see the word therefore, back up and see what it's there for. So he says that God is my strength, God is my song, and he has become my salvation. Beloved, I didn't see this until just now. We just saw a triune release of God's presence. He's my strength, he's my song, and he's become my salvation. I just connected a three triune understanding of God. If he's not three in one, I'm going to be short. Therefore, did you get that? If he's not my song, if he's not my strength, come on, y'all. If he's not my salvation, therefore is not therefore. According to the scripture, I'm just reading it as it's written. He's my strength. He's the one that told me I could do it. Then he gave me a song as I do the work. You remember the beauty and the, what is that? The seven doors. Oh, yeah. Snow White and the Seven Doors. They had the song that came out, Whistle While You Work. Why? Because a song displays the position of your heart. A song displays it. If I'm mad and grumbling, my heart cannot release a song. Even if it did, it would be blues. Okay? But when the strength of the Lord is evident in your heart and a song is given, because we're supposed to release praise unto our God. Praise in Psalms 8 says that it stops the enemy and the avenger. In other words, conversations that the devil has in your mind, say stop. Well, this ain't going to work. You ain't got to do that. And see, all that stops. Why? Because praise is released. And when is praise supposed to be released? With every breath. According to Psalms 150, let everything that hath breath praise. He did not say, let everyone that has breath be mad because of something somebody just did. He said, the thing that happened, the incident that happened, you must take the breath that I just gave you and release the praise. That can only happen, beloved, because joy is in your heart. He is my strength. He is my song. And he has become my salvation, my deliverance. Come on, y'all, please. Come on, let's look at this. My deliverance is connected to the joy of the Lord. Okay? If salvation is the word deliverance, when God is your strength and God is your song, when God is your salvation, now, therefore, with joy, you can draw water out of the wells of salvation. Please see this, that if joy is not in the proper position in my heart, if joy is not in the proper understanding in my mind, if joy is not in a predominant place in my life, I will not draw from the wells of salvation. According to this scripture, when God is my strength, when God is my song, when God is my salvation, now, therefore, I can draw from the wells of salvation. I can draw refreshing. Come on. I can draw water. See? I can draw refreshing from the wells of salvation. And I love that. Notice there was an S on the word wells there. Wow. The reason that that's so good, hallelujah. The reason is that is so good that I don't have to go to a specific place to find out where that well is. God has provided wells all around me. Glory to God. See, I don't have to wait for till I get to a place. Please hear it, beloved. I don't have to wait until I get to a place emotionally. I have a well that will cause refreshing right now if I would just allow joy to be in this place. Because without it, again, my faith is dead in the water. My faith then would only be confessions that are worthless, idle words. Amen. When God becomes your strength and your song, please, I just keep looking at this. Notice that my strength and my song and my salvation have to be intertwined, not broken chains. Not one that I find out, now I'm going to exchange it and give him the ability to be my song. No, my strength and my song and my salvation are connected one to another. I just want you to see that, all right? In this analogy here, we are going to a well to draw water out of the well. Usually, when you go to the well, you're going to have some type of bucket. And at the end of the bucket will be a rope, which is a twining, a twisting of a string, yarn, or whatever. So he's saying, what I'm going to do is be able to give you your supply of refreshing because you have intertwined your strength, your song, and your salvation. Amen. See, so if you do not intertwine and make them one, then the bucket will not be supported, beloved. The way that you get what God wants to give to you, you're going to be disconnected from it. So he says that when you allow that, now you can with joy begin to function. So I to just sum this up, I have said that if you don't have the joy of the Lord as your strength, your faith, because that also works. It's the faith. Jesus told us, have the faith of God. Mark 11:22. Have the God kind of faith. This is the God kind of faith. Again, I showed it to you by scripture. I showed it to you by an image of Jesus going through it and using that joy. See, the scripture says that's what caused him to be able to do it. That would be technically 100%. That would be the joy of the Lord. That would be the way the faith of God works. I hope you're seeing this. Okay? So then once you got this as a standard, okay? Once you have this as a standard, that you're not going to try to get to things any other way, but that joy, because love has come, joy then needs to be engaged, or we're not going to work this thing. All right? Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And that was basically reviewed from last week. All right? Now I'm trying to dig just a little deeper. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, verse 32 and following. And now you will see very clearly now the connection of faith. Watch this. Starting at verse 32 in chapter 10. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions, partly while you were made gazing stocks, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of those who were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves you have, knowing that in yourselves you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Now, just go back and look at this for a second. He just told us, the Apostle Paul just told us, this is what I want you to have on your mind. Okay? Recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, the light of the glorious gospel came, that you endured a great fight of afflictions. He said you endured it. He didn't say you were underneath it. You kept the former days, brought you a joy, brought you an understanding of his love that made you have the ability to endure. Okay? You kept on until you won. You know, beloved, it really doesn't make any sense for us to go through a problem and don't get to the end. It doesn't make sense for us to go around and around and around, because going around and around and around is also understood as going through. If I'm going to go through, I'm going to go to the end. I'm going to become victorious over whatever I just went through. Otherwise, I just wasted all my time going around in circles. I mean, we see that the children of Israel, their journey could have been done in a week, week and a half at the most. It took them 40 years because they kept going around the mountain instead of going through unto the place of victory. And the reason why that happens is because you can hear them murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. In other words, joy was not in their heart in the right place, was it? Because it's virtually impossible to have joy, praise, and complaints at the same time. I mean, you can even be mad at a situation, and if you would begin to praise again, the voice of praise will steal the enemy. It will stop the avenger. So then you will be able to say, you know what? I'm just going to praise God. Why? Because the only way to get through is to give voice to praise. All right? I've already cited Psalms 150 for you. Psalms 150 and Psalms 8. Keep them together. Keep them connected. He's looking for a praise out of your heart, a praise out of your lips, because that praise will cause deliverance. So it says that call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a fight of affliction. Partly while you were, this is just so good, y'all. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. Bless the Lord God. So then he just told me right here that people talking about me, that's reproaches. And people misusing me, afflictions. He said both of them could come to you, but if you have this joy that's alive, that gives you the strength that you need, you will get to the place of victory. Because it says you endured a great flight of afflictions. While you were really gazing stock, moved by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. Please look at what Paul just told us about. He just told us about fellowshipping in our sufferings, going and finding somebody to that we can talk to about how bad it is. Even if you do that, please notice what Paul said. He said, only do that partly. Don't do that continually. Come on, beloved, look at the word there. He said, you only did this partly, not continually. And I know sometimes we get in the thing, we make sure everybody knows. We don't just tell this one, we tell this one and that one. See, that's continually in the thing. He said, no, you have to just be partly a companion of those that were so used. For you had compassion on me and my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. If the devil can't take your joy, he can't keep your goods. If the devil cannot steal your joy, then he cannot hold on to the blessing that God has for you. Anger separates you from your blessing. That's what the devil set it there for. He uses anger as a dam. That's why the Bible asks us to agree with our adversary quickly while you are with him in the way. The Bible says that we should not let the sun go down on our wrath. But we're going to say, no, let me just continue to be a companion of those that were so used, forgetting that Jesus told us that we're supposed to rejoice when we are persecuted. That's what Jesus said. That's in red in your Bible. Now, I didn't put that in your Bible. Jesus said that. Why? Because if I can get you to maintain the joy, then everything that God sent to you, your deliverance, your victory, your understanding, you'll be able to operate in it. So stay away from the anger. The anger causes you to enter into the darkness that the devil has reserved for you. He's setting up the trap. Because, again, just like you can't praise and be mad at the same time, you can't believe and be mad at the same time. You cannot believe God and be mad. Because when you're mad, when you're angry, you then start functioning in condemnation. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. So what you've got to do is you've got to say, no, 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 I've got to let go of my position of hurt and pain, and let me just put joy to work in my life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's in my life. God gave it to me. The joy of the Lord came with the Lord. See, that's why it was not the joy from the Lord. It was the joy of the Lord. It came with the Lord. So when he came into your heart as Lord and Savior, joy came with him. So then I don't have to go out and let God make some joy for me. That once I was redeemed, there should be a different voice, because let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let their words say that I'm redeemed. I'm not one that holds on to unforgiveness. I'm not one that holds on to injury. I am one that is redeemed, and so since I am redeemed, I say so. I say, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I release them. Lord, I bless them. Bless those that despitefully use you. Again, Jesus said that. Pray for them that persecute you. Not harbor a bitterness. See, your faith will not work if anger is present. In fact, it says that in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says anger rests in the bosom of fools. Anger rests there. So if anger is there and it rests there, it is at home there. Faith could be there. Come on, that's the book of James tells us. You should not have two fountains. There should only be one fountain. A fountain of faith. A fountain of love. I don't have time to go back in the fountain of anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness. I don't have time for that. I left that fountain. So I have to come to the place where I'm going to allow my love to flow out of me, because joy has been connected to my life. So the devil cannot steal your joy. He cannot keep your goods. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. And how did you take this spoiling of your goods joyfully? By knowing something. Beloved, if you don't know something, notice this ain't no guessing here. We're not guessing, beloved. He said knowing that in yourselves, you have to have this confidence, that in heaven, I've got a better and an enduring substance. I've got to know that. That my health, when I look into the hills, my health comes from the Lord. I've got to know that my victory comes, has already been sent from heaven. It is protected, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. It is protected. It is reserved in heaven. It is undefiled. It does not fade away. See, if I get my strength from heaven, then heaven said every gift that comes from heaven, the Bible says every gift is a good gift, and a perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, and who has no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's every good gift. Because if it comes from heaven, it's going to be what I need. Don't you remember? This is the promise in 23rd Psalms, that he will make a table, he will prepare a table before you in the very presence of your enemy. He didn't even have to, come on, y'all, just help me. This is what the scripture says. He did not have to remove you from the trial. He can give you a table that will supply you till the trial is over. God, 1 Corinthians 7:13, God will not cause you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. What did he just say? That he will give you a table in the very presence of your enemy. If you would keep your mind knowing that in yourselves you have from heaven a better and enduring substance. Why should you know that? So that you won't do what it says in verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away. If you don't know something, then you will cast it away. You will throw off restraint. Cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your confidence, or you can exchange that word pistis is there. You cast not away, therefore, your faith. Because your faith has a great reward. But if I don't have my joy, my faith gone, it doesn't work. For, again, he's going to go back. He's intertwining Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and following. He's intertwining that. Okay, so that you can see, I have to have joy. I have to have faith. I have to have patience. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, that which shall come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. Why is he saying this? Because if joy is not in your heart, you're going to throw away your confidence. And then if you throw away your confidence, you are not living by faith. You are living, okay, this driver must give you an explanation. If you throw away your confidence, if you become angry and operate in that anger, let anger have an imperfect work with you, then you threw away your faith. And when you throw away your faith, you just threw away your victory. When you throw away your faith, according to the scripture, again, now the just shall live by faith. So if I throw away my faith, if I allow anger to take place instead of my faith working, then it says I cannot live, because the just live by faith. Joy has to be employed in order for me to live by faith. Love has to be employed in order for me to live by faith. Faith worketh by love. Now, when? Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, becomes angry again, goes back to the place where he finds companions of those that were so used, and makes them the people that he talks to. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure of them. But we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is. Beloved, there were no chapter and verses in the letter when it was written. So he came right from telling you that you should not cast away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Then he says that we are going to have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, we will be able to receive. We're not those that draw back. We are going to live by this faith, keep faith and hope alive, keep faith and love alive, keep faith and peace working together. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand. Put a comma right there. Please hear what the Apostle Paul just said. He says, I want you to understand from the position of faith. I do not want you to understand from your emotional responses, from your eye gate. I don't want you to understand from just your ear gate. I want you to understand from the word that's in your heart. For what saith it is nigh thee, even in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you would say, come on, that's what it says. If you would confess the Lord Jesus, then you will be saved. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Whosoever goes back into the strong tower shall be delivered. I'm going to call on Jesus. I'm not going to call on wrath. I'm going to call on Jesus. I'm not going to call on get back and get even. I'm going to call on Jesus. In other words, I'm going to call on mercy. I'm going to call on grace. Through faith, we understand. Stop understanding because of your feelings and your emotions. Don't do the memory recall thing. This is what you're supposed to recall to your mind, and this is what gives you hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. He is faithful to of his compassion that does not fail. Lamentations 3:21 and follow. This is what I'm supposed to recall to my mind. I'm not supposed to rehearse the injury, rehearse the bitterness. I'm not supposed to do that. I understand through faith. And what do I understand through faith? That in the beginning, God framed the worlds that we see by the word of God. I understand that through faith. That faith, if it's alive in my heart, cannot be clouded with anger. Come on, y'all, let's look at this. God saw the world. It was void and without form. Excuse me. He had already made the world. He could have gotten mad because now it was void and without form. Just go there. This is something his hands, his faith, he worked on. And it wasn't operating the way it was supposed to. Because there was nothing made that was not made by him. So that means when he came and saw that the world was dark and without, it had to have already been made by him. He didn't make it dark. Because everything he makes, every good and the perfect gift comes, come on, y'all, tie the things together. So God could have looked at this world that was messed up and got mad. But no, he said, no, I have faith. I can fix that easy. And how did he do it? By framing the world through the word of God. So that the things that are seen are made, not made of things which do appear. So, beloved, I'm trying to show you how your faith is connected because it's inclusive in the faith of the Spirit. So when you reach for faith, come on, y'all, when you reach for faith, please, let's do it this way. When you reach for faith, go through joy. Amen. That one you can write down. Yes, you can. When you reach for faith, go through joy. If you don't go through joy, then you're not going to obtain faith. Come on. Because for the joy that was set before him, he endured, and then he was seated. He wanted to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That was the thing that was not seen. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the things not, that he was going to be able to get me into the kingdom of God. And so he didn't have that in manifestation. He saw that through faith. And he says, okay, I'm going to endure this because joy is set in front of me. The joy of communing with Stevie Lee is going to be what I see. I'm not going to see the stupidness that Stevie Lee did. So I want you to see, beloved, that faith is going to be connected to the release of joy. Okay, remember this, that faith is a spiritual force that God gives to bring us to victory. Anger is a tactic that the devil uses to take us off course, delay our progress, and change our focus. Joy is released from God through faith and allows us to frame or to see our victory from God's point of view. Through faith, we understand. Because of faith, we see things from God's point of view. Anger is sent by the devil, and when it is employed through our faith, it is aimed at the object that we name as our opposition. They said this, they did that. Anger is always aimed at the opposition that we see. Don't get mad at the people because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Faith will give you the ability, come on now, faith will give you the ability to understand how to frame the world that you want by the word of God, not by your emotions. Opposition, when used correctly, will become your opportunity. Okay, there's one little phrase. You can write that one down. Opportunity is defined this way. Opposition, when it's used correctly, will always be your opportunity. You can write down Genesis 50-50, okay? 50-20, I mean, because it says that what the devil meant for evil, God turned it for good. Your opposition, when used correctly, will always be your opportunity. Last week we found that the one that you acknowledge is the one that directs your path. According to Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So if I'm acknowledging the devil, then the devil is responsible for directing my path. Please understand. Look at that. There it is. If I acknowledge God, God is responsible. It says, if you acknowledge him, then he will direct your path. If you don't acknowledge him, he cannot direct. Who did you acknowledge? I acknowledged the devil. Why? Because I got mad, upset, frustrated, okay? And now the devil is responsible for directing your path. Joy or anger? God or Satan? Don't cast away your confidence. Don't give the devil that opportunity. God is asking you to see through the eye of faith. And the first thing you will see through the eye of faith. Okay, let's do it this way. So now stay with the scripture. Make sure the scripture stays correct. In Galatians chapter 5:22, see through the eye of love. And the first thing you're going to see through the eye of love is joy. If I don't allow joy to be my focus from the beginning, then my view understanding is going to be messed up. And then I'm going to live in demand. Okay. Wow. When my view is messed up, I have to then live in demand or live in lust. Lust is demanding that my need be met at the expense of others. Love is to meet the need of others at my expense. If I don't see it through the eye of love, then I'm going to have to see it through the eye of lust. Now my needs have to be met at the expense of others. Come on, let's hear what he told him. Abraham, he told him, he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. I will bless you so that the others can be blessed. In thee shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed. I'm going to allow it to flow out of you, Abraham. You are the one that's going to meet the needs of others. Love causes me to meet the needs of others by my expense. Lust demands that my need be met at their expense. And God is wanting you to operate by faith. Release faith. And faith only works after joy is in its right place. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, okay, and then faith. After goodness. After patience. Do you see the connection, beloved? Okay. And these are some of the principles that unfortunately we have gotten backwards. We have rather been hurt and lived out of the demand or the lust and said, well, it's okay because they did. Love does not take an account of the wrong that was done. Love does not behave itself unseen. Love does not get puffed up. Come on, y'all. So how do you think that that was love when it was all about you? Love has to be released through you. I would like for you to think of it this way. Love is the door. And the door can be locked because faith is the key. And if joy is not employed, then faith will not unlock the door. Then what I need cannot be accessed. So although I am in proximity, come on the other side of the door, that puts you in proximity of your blessing. That puts you in proximity of your breakthrough. But if the door is locked, you do not get to enjoy your deliverance, your breakthrough, your supply. You see it, you know it's there, but we've locked the door to our salvation because with joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy, we will be able to have supply measured unto us, the door being open, the flow being free to have access in our life. That's what we have to begin to think about. Joy took Jesus, the power of joy took Jesus into his destiny. The power of joy will take you into your future. The word rejoice, kairo, is a primary verb, to be cheerful, calmly happy or well off. Used especially as a salutation on greeting or parting. Be well, farewell, be glad, Godspeed, rejoice. It was a command. Salutation. That's why Paul would over and over again tell us to rejoice. He was telling us to have the mind that causes you to be able to release the love that you've received. Rejoice. It has a prophetic connotation. It has a view of expectation. It refers to a state of being that is to be reproduced and called upon. The joy of the Lord. It can be reproduced. It's a prophetic expectation. It is a force that joy is a force that is brought to bear. Rejoice, rejoice. A force that is brought to bear in a particular specific situation at a specific time during a set of circumstances that must be changed by the power of God. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. When Paul was going through stuff, he would practice the principle of joy, I'm going to release you because now my faith can work. See, if I don't understand joy has to be in place in me, has to be resident in me, that's what rejoicing does. It places a demand on the resident power of God in me. Come on. It says rejoice. Go to the well of salvation. You are the place where the well has been implanted. You are the one that contains the joy. He says go to the place that you have in your heart and bring joy out. Let the joy that's in there be your strength. Let it be your motivation. It is the resident power of God. When I use rejoice as part of my salutation, talking to myself, when I use rejoice, then the will of God will be able to be introduced into the situation. And the resident power on the inside of me now can be released. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what? As I think about that, Philippians chapter 4, he just got through telling us in 2 to let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Let the mind be in you that says, I'm going to rejoice so that I can then get to the place where faith is released. Okay? I cannot release if I don't rejoice. Hallelujah. See? That's what James chapter 1 tells us. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers tests and trials, temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work with you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, did you catch the phrase, knowing this? He didn't say guessing about this, hoping on this. He said knowing this. Count it all joy when you fall into, at the beginning of the temptation, test, or trial, that the trying of your faith is going to employ patience. And the word patience there means to be consistently, constantly the same. Not to just put up with, but to be consistently, constantly the same. Let this mind be in you. Let it be active in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That he would think that this is what I recall to my mind that causes me to have hope. Therefore, I cannot be destroyed. I cannot be consumed. It is of the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed. And his mercies fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Let this mind be in you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. From that position, your faith is released to work and bring to you the substance supply of your life. For the just live by faith. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose, your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we just bless you for opening truths up to us that will cause us to walk in victory, that will cause us to walk in power, that will cause us to walk in humility before you. So that's the only requirement, Father God, that you said that we would do justly and walk humbly with our God. So we just thank you, Father, that as we allow you to live big on the inside of us, joy will well up. Joy will take its rightful place and lead peace and faith and goodness and meekness and temperance, so that we will then be able to experience the blessing that you are for us. We commit it to you now. It's done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Beloved, I just want you to know that as we continue to walk out this walk of faith, It's going to have to be done with joy in its right place. It's going to have to be. Amen. Brother Mike?
Amen. Yes, sir. And folks, we would like to thank the sponsors of tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Wallace, and Reverend Dorn, and also the churches that are participating out of West Virginia, South Carolina, Montana, and Portland, Oregon. We would like to thank y'all for tuning in and listening to tonight's teaching here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. We have one caller that's actually give commentary on tonight's teaching. We'll go ahead and open up the lines for him. And then after that, we'll close out. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll see you again tomorrow night. So let's go ahead with our caller.
Amen.
Area code 8845.
Amen, brother. As always, brother, it's just an honor, and God's word is so alive, you know. It always speaks to me, brother.
Amen.
I think it really speaks to people when they're really trying to hear from God. A lot of the times, though, in my walk, you know, it gets a little, I guess, foggy. But I guess I just have to draw more closer to Christ, and trying to get away from the flesh, you know, and just, you know, from being in my own thoughts, and really just trying to find time to, you know, just find that quiet time where you can spend with God, you know, and trying to walk in the Spirit, brother, and, you know, get away from the flesh, you know, and it really stay in joy, too, you know, really, because joy is key. Staying in God's love is definitely a challenge, and, you know, it is possible, though, if we just apply ourselves, and, you know, we have to, you know, bind those spirits of laziness and procrastination, too. Man, I know. So, you know, I think when it comes to me, but I just gotta put forth more effort, you know. But
well,
you know,
I'll say this. You know, you said, and this is what we've all done. We've all had these thoughts, and I just didn't find them to be very beneficial. You said that if we would apply ourselves, actually, Jesus said it quite the opposite. He said, if you would lose yourself, you will find yourself.
Amen to that.
it's what I'm saying. See, if I'm making demands, okay, then I'm well aware of me, aren't I? If I'm making demands, then I'm well aware of me. But if I'm willing to deny myself, then I'm more aware of him.
That's right.
Okay? So that's what I want you to do. I want you to just continue to practice that. No, I'm not saying try to be self-religious, you know. Or I'm just, no. What I say is this. I'm aware that this is what I'm thinking. So now I'm going to let this mind be in me. The word let is an operative word, isn't it? Because I can let or not let, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's operative. So I'm going to let this mind be in me. See? It's exactly the same way as let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's operative. If I don't say it, I'm not acting like I'm redeemed. So what I want you to do is I want you to not try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but to say, you know what? The thought that Jesus had here was the strength that is God's strength is what's going to make me get through. The joy of the Lord, not from the Lord. Not the joy on top of my joy.
That's right.
Okay? That's what I want you to do. Okay?
Amen, brother. Amen to that, brother. I will,
thank you for calling.
I will do so, and I continue to meditate on Isaiah chapter 12, too, brother.
Yes, sir. Let's do that. Because therefore, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. Okay? So just keep on doing that, because you are just the desire. That's good. Just the desire to want to do it causes God's presence to be there, because he's the one. Oh, wow, that's true, sir. I hadn't thought about that. The prophetic word in the very beginning that says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. The desire causes God's presence to be there. And then he said, by promise, I will show you. He didn't say, I will give you a glimpse. Come on, that's good. Come on. He said, I will show you. Showing me means that the detail of the thing is going to be explained to me. If I catch a glimpse of it, then that's just one thing. Now, he said, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. In other words, I'm going to cause you to know something.
Right.
Amen. So that's what I want you to do. Just know that you've got his attention. Glory to God. You have all of heaven's attention.
I pray that I do, brother.
Yeah, you do. Like I say, Isaiah 12. And I think that's Jeremiah 33. That's Jeremiah 33:3. That he said, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So, yeah, just meditate on the things that he's already made available to you. Amen.
Thank you, brother Mike. Thank you, guys, brother. Love you guys. Shalom, brother.
Love you too. Shalom.
Love you too, brother. Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does conclude tonight's broadcast. We would like to thank once again, and if you would like to sow a seed here, please feel free to. You can do so at www.livedeliverance.com. If you've been blessed by any of the things you've heard here, please sow a seed. Pastor Steve, is there anything else that you'd like to say before we close out?
No, just go enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that is it. Shalom. Good night. God bless. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on TalkTalk.com. Shalom.
Shalom.